plan that lets you save.
Who cares?
True Form Life.
Green look on.
Welcome to another edition of Exploring Mind and Body. As always, I'm your host, Drew Taddea. Thanks so much for being here for this edition of Exploring Mind and Body. I always appreciate you being here, being part of our True Form Life community, and seeing what we have going on each show. Now, today we have Faye Stenning coming at you, and she is an elite athlete. She's a professional Spartan runner, and she's going to talk about all kinds of tips and takeaways from what it's like to compete at such a high level. She talks about mindset, which is one of my favorite parts. She gives tips and suggestions on how you can have more time during the day to get your workouts in. And one of them here is that one of my notes here said, minimize your excuses. And one of the things she does is she has a pair of shoes everywhere. In her car, in her office, in her boyfriend's car, maybe in the office next to her. But she has all kinds of different suggestions and tips just like this. She's going to talk about her background, how she got into running, and how she found this Spartan running. And now competing at such a high level, she was actually number 3 in the world as a professional Spartan runner. She's working to be number 1, but it's an incredible story, so many takeaways. And personally, I found so much inspiration just from listening to Faye talk, hearing about her training schedule. She touches a bit about on nutrition as well, but so much going on here. So sit back and enjoy. We got all that coming up.
This is Exploring Mind and Body. Naturally improve your lifestyle one show at a time with your host, Drew Taddea.
All right, welcome to Exploring Mind and Body. We have Faye Stenning with us online. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Faye.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. So today we're going to be talking about Spartan running, and not just any Spartan running. We're going to be talking about professional Spartan running. Now, is this something that many people know about, that there's actually a professional level that you can achieve or get to in this sport?
Yeah, I find, in Canada, it's not too well known. I know back when I was running, in 2013 is when I started the sport, and I remember, I was going to all these Canadian races and doing quite well. And then my boyfriend and I kind of, decided, hey, we're doing these races. Why don't we go do them in like kind of cool destinations? So, we started to go to Vegas and go to these fun spots in the States to race them. And one, Matt the Bear, I don't know if he's kind of a legend in Spartan racing. He came up to me after the race and kind of informed me that the girls that I was running with do this full time. And I had no idea what he was talking about. I'm like, what do you mean full time? Like, how is this their job? We're running through mud. So that was back in like 2013, 2014 that I kind of found out about the pro team. And yeah, it's now that it's on NBC Sports, it's kind of grown. And yeah, we have a legit pro team with 10 girls. Well, last year, the team might be changed this year, but last year there was 10 girls in the world on the team and 10 guys on the team. So yeah, it's obviously not at the place right now where we're making tons and tons of money, but if you're good enough and get in on the podium spots, you can do pretty well for yourself.
And is that prize money? Do you guys?
Yeah, so, a combination of prize money and sponsorships and stuff like that. So it's kind of a little bit of money here and there that hopefully if you're good enough and you're good at marketing yourself and all that, that the idea is that, it all adds up to something that you can live off.
What were you doing before that? And how did you get into, I'm sure that you didn't just start running.
No, I've been running for years, like years and years and years, like way back even in high school. My gym teacher at the time, we'd run one lap around, or this was actually in junior high, we'd have to run one lap around the school in gym class as like a warm up before we started our basketball games or whatever we were doing that day. And the gym teacher totally noticed that I was kind of a freak when it came to running. So she, called up my mom and my aunt and convinced them that, you got to put your daughter in track. You really got to put your daughter in track. So, I owe a lot of my success to her, that gym teacher way back when I was quite young, because she really got me in the right sport and noticed the talent that I had. And then I ran competitively through university at the University of Calgary on the Dinos team. And, was a really strong runner there, was like all Canadian, but wasn't quite at that level to, you know, make a push for the Olympics or anything like that. I wasn't quite that talented. And it was funny because I was always kind of like strong. Like I had this, like, I was like a skinny distance runner, but I had like, I could do like a weird amount of push-ups and a weird amount of pull-ups. It was just kind of like not conducive to running. My coaches were always like, why is your upper body so strong? And I'm like, I don't know. So yeah, just sort of fell into Spartan racing. Honestly, was just doing it for fun. I was really burnt out of just running. So I started to go to the weight room and do some circuit trainings and fun stuff like that. And naturally the training that I did kind of really conducive to these races, and just kind of got hooked, and mostly hooked on just kind of the community and the, you know, you run these fun races and you go drink beers after with like 50 of your buddies. And that's kind of what kept me in it. And then when I got signed on the pro team, I kind of knew this was the real deal, and I wanted to make a push to, you know, be the next star in the sport.
What high school did you go to?
I went to Western Canada High School.
And then from Western?
Yeah, here in Calgary.
From Western, you went to the university and started running for the Dinos?
For the Dinos, yeah.
Okay, and then after that, what were you doing? Were you doing anything in between?
So, yeah, I was kind of, you know, 2012 is when I graduated, and there was like a year, maybe a year and a half there that I was pretty burnt out from running. You know, university runners, we run a lot, and that's pretty much all we do. And I was just sick of it. Like, and I just kind of went to the gym to just, sometimes I do some sprints on the treadmill, but that was like kind of all my running. I really spent a lot of time in the gym getting strong, and I was the personal trainer at the time. So I just kind of did a variety of different activities, but nothing really serious in terms of running. And I remember one day I just was like, I got to start running competitively again. Like I just like something in me, like I'd given my body a rest and I was over my burnt out phase. And it was just like, I was ready to start pushing my body again, but I was definitely burnt out after university and I needed a bit of a break.
So what does training look like for you now? I'm interested to hear, you know, how often you train, what kind of training you do. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So training's really, it's really fun for obstacle course racing because it's very varied. I mean, it's not like we're running two runs a day every single day. You know, there's a lot of different aspects that you need to be a good obstacle course racer. So because of that, your week is very varied, which makes it a lot more enjoyable, especially coming from someone that has always just ran every single day. The variety is awesome. So in season, when I was in the NBC, getting ready for the NBC series races, you know, I wasn't working and I was training like three times a day. Usually, you know, I do run every day, so there's always some sort of run every day. And then and then my other sessions are in the weight room, either doing kind of heavier just strength workouts, or they're doing more kind of CrossFit style workouts, but highly modified CrossFit, kind of making it more Spartan specific. So, you know, circuits like that. And I do a lot of stuff with the sled. So I do a lot of sled pushes and sled pulls. I spend a lot of time working on grip strength. So I'm hanging off bars like all day, like all the time. Heavy carries is a huge part of Spartan racing. So, you know, I've got a bucket and I've got a sandbag and I'm constantly carrying these weights up and down hills. You know, even I have a couple days a week where I throw the spear, and there's days that you have your skill days. So you're just going over walls, climbing ropes, and that sort of stuff. So, I mean, I could go on and on and on. It is very intensive. That's why I had decided to leave work, because the training was so demanding, because the girls that you're up against, you know, I knew that some of them weren't working. And if I wanted to be at their level, you know, it's not like I can find more hours in a day. I needed to make a sacrifice. So yeah, it's been good.
So with some of these obstacles, spear throwing, climbing walls, that may be difficult for the average person to find. Where are you going to? You have a specific facility? Is this in your backyard? What are you doing to get through these training sessions?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I when I first started Spartan racing, I was so annoyed, because it's like all these girls in the States had these like cool, sweet gyms that they were going to, and their like husbands built these obstacles in their backyard. And I was so angry because I'm like, this is so unfair. I don't have access to this stuff. So I felt like it was a huge disadvantage, but you've just got to like make it. Like literally I went to Home Depot and I bought buckets. And so that's all the heavy carry obstacles. And in Spartan racing, you know, I can train for that by just buying a bucket or a sandbag. So that's kind of the number one thing that I would say you need. My dad built a spear target in his backyard. So when I go to my dad's place for, you know, Sunday night family dinner, before we sit down and have dinner, we all go out and throw the spear. And then there has been a couple obstacle course gyms that have opened up in the city, Core Fit being one, and Ninja Nation, which is another one. So I do go to those gyms to kind of go over the walls and that sort of stuff. But, you know, you just got to be creative. Like if you go to a gym, you know, you notice there's chin-up bars and all that stuff. So like hanging from those is going to help your grip. And a lot of CrossFit gyms even have ropes now. So there are, I guess there are facilities that do have these skills that you can practice. You just kind of got to go search them out. They're not always in your typical gym.
And tell me about
and bouldering. Bouldering is another thing. That's just something that really, really helps your grip strength. So any climbing gym is huge, helpful too. And the number one thing is, I think, having access to good trails and good mountains, because a lot of the races are up and down mountains. So here in Calgary, with the Rocky Mountains so close, it's kind of a perfect place.
How often would you do some type of trail run?
Oh, like maybe 3 times a week. Yeah, I'd say 3 times a week in the in season, and then maybe in the off season, maybe just once a week, just because, you know, I'm still working right now, but so I run a lot on my lunch hours. So I'm running from the office. So a lot of my running is still primarily done on the road, which isn't really ideal, but it's just for convenience. It just kind of has to be done that way. So
for off season, how long are your distances when you're running on your lunch hour?
You know, my lunch hour, like I just have a typical lunch hour. So, you know, most of my runs are just an hour on my lunch hours, but you know, I wasn't working for a long time while the NBC series was on. So I'd run sometimes an hour and a half in the morning and an hour and a half in the evening. Sometimes I'd run just 3 hours in one get-go. So yeah, kind of varies. But generally, most of my recovery runs and runs during the week are around an hour. And then I try and get out for sometimes up to 3 hours runs on the weekend.
You say that like it's like someone wakes up in the morning to go to work. Is that, is 3 hours a long time for you, or are you just like, it's 3 hours, it's what I do?
See, it would be long if I was running by myself on the road, but it's so different. I mean, I have so many amazing training partners here in Calgary. There's such an awesome community of ultra runners, of trail runners, of road runners, of triathletes, of Xterra racers, like just all sorts of active people. So, you know, when we go out for a 3 hour run, it's like with a group, and it's very social and it's very fun. And it's kind of awesome being a fast girl, because you have all the kind of decent, like good guys or moderate guys are kind of at your pace. Like if you're the top female, your pace is kind of like, you know, you have a lot of guys that you can keep up with. So you have access to a whole bunch of training partners. And I have tons of training partners and they all push me. But the reason it's not boring is because we're out in the mountains, which are just beautiful. But I mean, we're talking like the whole 3 hours, like we don't shut up. And so the time just like flies. Like it's really, really fun. It's almost like going for a coffee date with someone, except you're exercising.
Except you're running for 3 hours.
yeah. But you get used to it. Yeah, it's funny. My dad actually says this too, because my dad was a very good runner as well. And he says, you know, it's almost harder for me to walk than it is to run. Like you get so fit as a runner that, like, to me, walking is like tiring. Like I don't want to walk. My body's so accustomed to running and all the muscles and the adaptations that like it gets to a point that like running almost becomes easier than walking. So
it probably
feels, you get used to it.
It probably feels terribly inefficient for you.
Oh, I know. You're like, I'm an impatient person. I know.
Like, I could run this totally. In 5 minutes, but it's going to take me 20 minutes to walk it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And then,
no, it's fun.
You said you're a faster runner. What kind of, like, give me an idea. Well, I'm not a big runner myself, but I've had a couple ultra runners on and death race runners on the show. Tell me maybe a pace so we have an idea of
you. Yeah, so I run like my 10K time is 35:40. So that's like 3:30s per kilometer would be 35 minutes. So I run 35:40. So I run just over 3:30 per kilometer for 10K. I haven't like done a half marathon or any like strict road races or stuff like that for a really long time. So I don't have those numbers. All I have is my 10K time. I'm kind of more into the trails now. So it's hard to compare race times when you're on varied terrain and it's not a set distance. But yeah, I could run for sure under an hour 20 and a half marathon. And I haven't done a marathon yet. I don't think I will. Maybe one time I will, just to kind of have a sweet time or something. But and in terms of ultras and all those crazy long distance runs, I'm not going to say I'm against them. I'm not that interested. I just, for me, like running is something I'm obviously doing now pretty seriously and professionally, but it's something I want to do kind of for the rest of my life. And I just think that the risk of blowing out your knees or severely damaging your body to run these insane distances, you know, I don't know what would happen to me. Like now I'm only 27. If I'm, you know, 20 years from now and I'm 47 and I had all these ultras behind me, would I still be healthy enough to run, or would I have used up all my running, you know, all my running capacity and my body's just like, we're done. So I'm not into the super, super long stuff just because I just think it's kind of crazy in terms of injuries and training for it. And yeah, so I'll probably just keep it to the Spartan Beast distance, which is, you know, 25 kilometers. And it does take like 3 hours to run the Beast just because of all the obstacles. So, but yeah, nothing too, too long.
So with these, if you're running 3.5 or let's say 4 with obstacles, yeah, aren't you running? That's a long ways. I mean, that's probably, I couldn't even guess. Like that's quite far. That's much further than 10 miles, isn't it? Or 10 clicks.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the Beast distances can be like 25 kilometers, which, you know, I can run 25 kilometers in like, you know, like an hour and a half, but it takes 3 hours to do the race because of the elevation. So like a lot of times you're not even running, you're power hiking because these races are up mountains. And then when they throw in, okay, now you have to like climb this section of the race with like a 60-pound sandbag on your back, then that really, really slows down your mile splits or kilometer splits. And then you're doing these obstacles. So the distance isn't that long, but the time that you're out there is very long.
And do you feel like you have a bit of an advantage being so close to the Rocky Mountains?
Oh, totally. Yeah, huge advantage. Like, I mean, a lot of the pro team this year, they were living in Colorado, which, you know, probably would have been a better place to live because there are, I don't know if the mountains are any better, but it's at a, you know, you can, it's at a higher altitude, which is like really important for Spartan racing because our world championships race is always at altitude. So a lot of the professionals and people that take the sport really seriously actually do live at altitude for a fair chunk of the year. But yeah, it's definitely an advantage being able to go out to the mountains for sure.
So coming back to professional Spartan runner, how did that work? Did someone with your times and such, you qualified and they just said?
So what basically happened is I got a call from like Spartan and they were looking to fill one more spot on the team. So they just like kind of interviewed me and I just kind of was, you know, I was pretty confident. I'm like, look, like, I think I should be on this team. I think I said that I think I should be on the Spartan Pro team because I beat the Spartan Pros at World Championships last year. And I mean, I didn't beat all of them, but I did beat a fair chunk of them. And I just was like, they knew I was good, but they didn't know how good because I was kind of hiding in Canada. Like I wasn't doing a lot of the big races because there, it's expensive to go fly to Pennsylvania and run an NBC race when you don't have any sponsors or anyone paying the bills. So I basically just, I remember telling them, I was like, if you guys, you know, allow me to be on the pro team and cover my costs and allow me to compete, like, I'll do everything in my power to be one of the best racers in the world. And I came out too short. So I'm the third best in the world. I was third at world. So wow. I still have two more people that I need to chase down, but I think they were a little hesitant about putting me on the team. But I think kind of what got them was kind of my confidence that I was like, as long as I'm given this opportunity, I'll make sure that I make it worth your while and my while and do the best I can. So yeah, so it's kind of, it was a good, definitely a good year for me.
Tell me about that confidence and mindset of some of the, well, the obstacles, the terrain, the people you're training against. I understand that you, at some levels, you run against men and you beat most of them.
How does that
for
you? Yeah, it's kind of fun. We usually the guys, well, in most all, in all the races, the guys go off 15 minutes before the girls in the elite wave. And then I guess girls get like to the top girls that, you know, catch up to the guys, and we're the great kind of racing them. We're in different categories, so it obviously doesn't matter, but it's fun racing against these guys because you're not really directly competing against each other. So I just find the guys are just so helpful. Like, they'll tell me how many seconds I'm behind the leader, and they move out of your way. They're so polite. They get out of your way on a single track trail, and they're always pat me on the back and fist pump me. And like, it's just really motivating atmosphere. So that's like really fun. But, you know, and having confidence and going, being on NBC, like I was on NBC Sports like six times this year, and having to, you know, race at this level all year, like, confidence is really everything. I think that to be a good athlete, you literally, even if you know deep down that you might not win the race, when you step on that start line, you need to convince yourself that you're winning the race and that this is your day. And yeah, I constantly practice and positive self-talk and, you know, mental toughness. And that's like a part of my training. That's not just something that I just like woke up one day and I'm tougher than everyone else. It's something that I constantly work on and that isn't actually incorporated into my training. So yeah, that's, the mental game is huge, especially as you can imagine when you're out running at altitude with very little oxygen and you're an hour into the race and you're hurting really bad and you know it's not going to be over for another 2 hours. You need to figure out a way to push through that. And that's something that I think is, you know, it comes down to pain tolerance and just dealing with what we call the suck, or being comfortable with being uncomfortable, which I probably say too much, but is probably my favorite quote. That's not something that you just magically get good at. That's something that needs to be worked on just as much as anything else.
And then on that same level, what are the things, if someone were to say, how can I gain confidence? I mean, it's a pretty difficult question, but I mean, there's different things. You talked about a positive self-talk, but I think sometimes, I mean, confidence comes from within. Some people would say we're born with it. Other people say you can work on it. For those that want more confidence, for those that would probably look up to you with the things that you are accomplishing now and have accomplished, what would you tell them?
Maybe I owe my confidence to having great parents. You know, I come from a family that, like, you know, I woke up every morning and my mom was like, "You look gorgeous today, Faye." And my dad was like, "Amazing 10K time last weekend." And yeah, like, my parents always showered me with confidence. So I think advice I can give to people is, if you have people in your life that don't think you're awesome and don't compliment you, or don't, and not only compliment you, but don't support you and, or talk down to you, or like, get rid of those people. Like, that's just not going to do anyone any good. So surround yourself with people who are your fans and who are your cheerleaders and who are there for you and you're there for them. I think that's the main thing. And then, like, just like I was talking about, like, you got to practice it. Like, it sounds like stupid, but, you know, you got to wake up every morning and look at yourself in the mirror and just, you know, say to yourself, like, I'm going to have a great day today and I'm going to conquer this and get this done. And yeah, really believe that. Like, so whatever, and if you know you're having confidence issues or anything like that, writing down things you like about yourself, and even in a notepad is kind of, that may sound kind of lame, or, but like, you got to figure out how to have it, because you're walking around with your head down every single day. I just don't think that you're going to achieve what you want to achieve.
And I want to talk about work-life balance a bit here. When you were working, like, you know, you said you took some time off, but when you were working, were you able to train at a high level? Because many of our listeners here, you know, they're going to be, they'll probably be inspired, to be honest with you. I'm inspired just by this interview, but they're going to want to do something. So many times people say, I don't have time, or there's too many things I have to do. I got kids, I have a job. How did you balance that while you were training at a high level before you took time off?
So I knew that ideally I wanted to train twice a day, and I'm not a morning person at all. So I knew that my two opportunities to train were kind of at lunchtime and after work. And I just made everything convenient. So I have like a pair of running shoes everywhere. I have a pair in my boyfriend's car. I have a pair in my cubicle at work. I have them even if I'm carrying my purse, I have a pair of running shoes. So whenever I have some time, an hour, I just throw on my running shoes and make it happen, go for a run. A lot of my training when I'm working is, it does happen over that lunch hour, and it is rushed and it's hectic. And I'm going into meetings after a workout and I don't even have time to shower and I'm sweaty and I'm gross and it's hard, but you just make it happen. Everyone at my office knows that Faye doesn't work over lunch. Don't expect Faye to respond to your emails or do anything over lunch because she's out running. And I've just made that clear to everyone I work with. This is my hour to myself and I'm running, and that's priority A. Everything else can wait. I understand some people, I might not have that luxury, but another good tactic that I use is sometimes I get slammed at work and I literally have critical things I need to finish and I can't get out at lunch. Then what I do is I leave my stuff at work and I put on my running shoes and I run home from work. So I use exercise as a way to commute, just to get some training in if it doesn't get done because life gets busy. But
what do you do with your clothes? You run in your work clothes?
I just leave them at the office. No, I'm prepared. I have a whole closet of running clothes at work. So I always have running clothes and running shoes. I even had a bucket in my cubicle and a big medicine ball. And I think I had a dumbbell too. Because it's just I never had an excuse. People make excuses oh, I don't have my clothes, or I forgot my running shoes, or I don't have access to a gym. Wherever I was, it's I always had the tools I needed to get a quick workout in. Because what people, I think, sometimes don't realize is physiological benefits of you getting up and doing a 20-minute high-intensity circuit is worth so much.
Thank you so much. That was awesome. I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with us. And all your information it's incredibly inspiring. And I'm sure I guess you're just getting started here. I wish we had a bit more time, but maybe we'll have you on again in the future and you can let us know how your travels and professional career is going.
Yeah, I would love that. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for this edition of Exploring Mind and Body. As always, thank you so much for being here. Thanks for being a part of the show. Thank you for your downloads, your shares, everything that you do to contribute to the show. We certainly wouldn't be here without you. I hope you enjoyed that interview from Faye. I did, without question. It was so cool to be able to sit down and talk with her and learn more about what it's like to be a professional Spartan athlete. If you're looking for a little help to get boosted in the right direction, maybe you need some professional advice yourself with a proper program, head over to trueformlife.com. We have a free 10-day fitness challenge. We send you a brand new workout each day. Workouts take 20 minutes or less. Just like Faye was saying, you don't always have to get an hour or longer in. Get in a short, efficient workout. There's no equipment required. We teach you how to use your body as the machine. We're going to send you tips along the way. And it's just a great way to boost yourself in the right direction. Maybe you want to start a program. Maybe you want to get in a little better shape for the holidays or whatever season it may be. Again, that's at trueformlife.com. And we got more details going up there. All these past shows can be found on exploringmindandbody.com. That's it. That's all I got. I'm out of here. As always, I'm your host, Drew Taddeo, in health and fitness for a better world. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Exploring Mind and Body with Trueform Life's Drew Taddea, fitness expert. To find out more about the show, Drew Taddea, or to listen to past shows, visit exploringmindandbody.com.